Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim daf Mem Zayin. We are holding on daf Mem Vav and Beis in the last line of the page at Esvei Lechem Apanim. So today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Zchusur for Shalema for Rabbi Kelimer Shlita Yehuda Ben Rivka Leia by a lifelong Talmud, and it's also sponsored by the outdoor minion in Woodmere known as the Church Avenue Minion. Zchusur for Shalema for our friends, neighbors, and members Yuri Sternfeld, Yehuda Aryeh Rafael Ben Yita, who's currently in the ICU fighting COVID, and Moshe Schwartz, Moshe Yitzchak Ben Taiva Rosa, who is also in the ICU. And we thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. Today, we're going to revisit something that we mentioned yesterday, and that's the whole daf, the concept of ho'il. So really two things, the idea that Sarche Shabbos are Nasim B'Yom Tov, and the concept of ho'il. Those are the two topics. So again, the first topic is that after we learned on the previous daf that Rav Chisda holds, technically on a Doraisa level, Tzorchei Shabbos Nasim B'Yom Tov, you could do Malacha on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos. You could prepare on for Shabbos on Yom Tov. So the first half of our daf is going to challenge that. We're going to bring two different questions where it seems that that's not the case, that Tzorchei Shabbos are not Nasim B'Yom Tov on a Doraisa level. Then the second half of the daf is going to revisit that which Rabbah held, that Rabbah held the concept of Ho'il, that since hungry guests can arrive at any moment, so it's mutar midaraisa to cook much more food than necessary on Yom Tov. So the second half of our daf is going to ask two questions on Rabbah. That is that true? That since guests can arrive, that means that you're allowed to cook more than necessary just in case. Ho'il, since if guests were to come, it would be the tzarech of Yom Tov, so you're allowed to do it even when you're expecting no guests. So the Gemara is going to challenge that from a couple of different places. So let's begin at Esivei. So first, we're asking on Rav Chisda. Rabbah is challenging Rav Chisda, who held again that midaraisa it's mutter to do malachos on Yom Tov litzorech achila on Shabbos. So Esvei, the challenge is from a Mishnah Maseches Menachos. Lechem apanim, the halacha is that the lechem apanim is eaten nechal letisha laasara lachadasar. It's always eaten either 9 days after it was baked, 10 days after it was baked, or 11 days after it was baked. 9 days after it was baked, when we use that terminology in the Mishnayos, means on the ninth day from the baking. It doesn't mean what we would call 9 days later. It means counting the day of the baking and counting the day of the eating. It's a total of 9 days. We use similar terminology when we calculate vestos for Hilchos Nida. So we say that an onabedinus, let's say, shloshim yom does not mean 30 days later. It means on day 30. That's what Rav Shechta told us when he was when he first learned Hilchos Nida. He happened to have read in Reader's Digest that the Ona Beninus nowadays is 29 days. So he said, he asked Rabbi Tendler at the time, why it is that we don't change the Ona Beninus to 29 days, if it's supposed to be 29 days. And he said, Rabbi Tendler said to me, Herschel, for such a smart young man, that's a stupid question, because for 30 days, it's when we say in English 29 days, it's what we say in Halacha, 30 days, meaning what we call 29 days later would be Yom Shloshim, would be the 30th day. So anyway, the way we explain it to Chassanim when we're trying to explain the concept of Vestos is between my thumb and my pinky are 5 fingers, right? It's so even though there are 3 in between and it's 4 fingers later, but that's so it's Nechal Letisha, could be eaten on the 9th day, could be eaten on the 10th day, or could be eaten on the 11th day. Lo Pachos Lo Yoser, cannot be eaten any earlier than the 9th day, nor any later than the 11th day. Ketzad, so how does that play out, that it's the 9th day, the 10th day, or the 11th day? So Kidarko, if it's a regular situation or a regular Shabbos, this time of year, let's say there are no Yom Tovim around, so Letisha, then it's eaten on the 9th day, because Nefa Be'erev Shabbos, Nechal B'Shabbos, you would bake it on Erev Shabbos, and then it would go onto the Shulchan on Shabbos, and would stay there until the next Shabbos. So you would remove it from the Shulchan the following Shabbos, and that's when you would eat it. Letisha, that's Letisha, that's 9 days. Chal Yom Tov Lios Be'erev Shabbos, but if there's a Yom Tov that falls out on Erev Shabbos, so you cannot bake it on Friday because it's Yontif, so Nechal L'Shabbos Shabbos La Asara. So then it's eaten the it's baked on the Thursday before, and it's eaten on the following Shabbos, and that is on day 10. And if Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, then Nechal Shabbos L'Chadasar. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on Thursday and Friday, then you need to bake it on Wednesday. You're not going to eat it until the following Shabbos, and that is your 11 days. Lufi Sheina Docha Loas Shabbos V'Loas Yom Tov, because the baking of Lech Mapanim is not Docha Shabbos, nor is it Docha Yom Tov. So this Mishnah is a challenge, because Rabbi now comes in to finish the Shaila. But if you hold that technically speaking on a Doraisa level, you're allowed to do Malachos of Yom Tov on Yom Tov for Shabbos, Amaylo Docha Yom Tov, why can't you bake the Lech Mapanim on Yom Tov? It's for Shabbos, not this Shabbos, for next Shabbos, but it's for Shabbos. So if you're allowed to do on a Doraisa level, you're allowed to do Tzorche Shabbos on Yom Tov, why is it that the Lech Mapanim cannot be baked on a Yom Tov? Samar Leis, Rav Chista responded to Rabba that really the Isser to do Tzorche Shabbos and Yom Tov is only an Isser Drabbanan. You're going to tell me if it's only an Isser Drabbanan, why didn't we allow it in the Beis HaMikdash? Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, there are no Isserim Drabbanan in the Mikdash. That's not entirely true. Shvus Krova Hitiru, Shvus Rechoka Lo Hitiru. When we say Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, that's only if it's of immediate need, meaning I'm allowed to do a Shvus in the Mikdash if the purpose of the Shavuos is for today, but the purpose of Shavuos is for over a week from now. No, that we don't allow Shavuos b'Mikdash. So you're right, on a Daraisa level, it should have been able to be baked on Yom Tov, even if Yom Tov fell out on Erev Shabbos, but Midrabanan goes to Mishum Shavuos not to do so. But according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Askan, Docha es Yom Tov, that when the Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbos, the baking of the Lechem upon him is Docha Yom Tov, because it's considered an Ochel Nefesh. Aye, but it's not eaten on Yom Tov, it's only eaten on Shabbos. It's because Shabbos is also considered Yom Tov, and even though the Chamor goes there not to bake on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos, but in the Mikdash they weren't gozer a Shavuos. But apparently, he holds even a Shavuos Rechoka, they weren't gozer. Ve'eino Doches Yom Tzom, he just holds that you cannot bake the Lechem Apanim on Yom HaKippurim, because you can't do on a Doraisa level, you're not allowed to do a malacha of ochel nefesh and yom kippurim. So then, ma'ika le'meimer. So how are you going to explain this from the fact that we allow baking lechem upon him in Yom Tov for eating it on the Shabbos the following week? Apparently, we do allow a shvus rechoka. So how can you tell me this yisod that while we allow a shvus in the mikdash, that's only a shvus krova, that's only a shvus of immediate significance, but a shvus rechoka we're not going to allow? Not true. Apparently, we allow a shvus rechoka according to this opinion. So answer the Gemara. Yeah, that's exactly the machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon ben Asagan. Mar sover shvus krova itiru, shvus rechoka lo itiru. Mar sover shvus rechoka nami itiru. That's exactly right. The Tanakama holds that we only were matir shvus krova in the mikdash if it's of immediate use, but the Rabbi Shimon ben Asagan holds differently. He holds that they were even matir a shvus rechoka. Now there is an unusual comment of Rashi over here when we talk about the shnei yom Tovim that fall out on Erev Shabbos. So we spoke about that the Mishnah said that's when you would do Malacha on day 11. So Rashi writes in Dibra Maskel Shnei Yomim that the Tana Davka says Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah and not other Shnei Yom Tovim, because Bizman that Shtei Alechem was Noeg, they were not Noeg Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Golios in Eretz Yisrael. So it wouldn't make sense to talk about Shnei Yom Tovim of any other Yom other than Rosh Hashanah, because we're talking about what they did with the Lechem Apanim and with the Shtei Alechem, so it wouldn't make sense. Well, we'll get to the Shtei Alechem soon, but it wouldn't make sense that they would have such a thing around when they had the Lechem Apanim, that there would be any other Shnei Yomim Tovim. So the Achorim ask the obvious question: wait, Bizman that there was Lechem Apanim, that's when there was no Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Galios in Eretz Yisrael? You go to Eretz Yisrael right now, there's nation. Not only that, even Americans stopped keeping. So you know, there's no Shnei Yom Tov Shel Galios in Eretz Yisrael af bizman hazeh. So and that's how we paskin clearly in Shulchan Aruch. So Shlomo Zalman in Mincha Shlomo Chelak Aleph Simin Yotes Osches writes that perhaps if someone wanted to be machmir on themselves in Eretz Yisrael to be choshesh that the goyim might be gozer shmad on the Jewish people and the Yom Tovim are going to be in the skalkel and we're not going to be able to do Malacha and Yom Tov of Sheni, the same way it is in Chutz Laretz, so we have to be Choshesh Mishum Bal Tosif, because since in Eretz Yisrael the Chum were not Masakein, to be Choshesh for that, so it can't be that you're allowed to make your own Siyag to observe Yom Tov Sheni. So he makes it even stronger. Not only do we not happen to have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, you're not even allowed to keep Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios in Eretz Yisrael. So there's a tshuva in the Minchas Aluzer where he says a little bit differently. The Minchas Aluzer, the Munkacher in Chelek Hei, Simin Yud, writes that from Rashi it sounds like Yom Tov Sheni is Noeg Bizman Hazeh, even in Eretz Yisrael, against Rov Rishonim. He says what you get from this Rashi is that apparently it's a Machlokas Rishonim, whether Yom Tov Sheni is Noeg in Eretz Yisrael. And it's true, the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, and everything we paskin like is not that way, but Rashi seems to say that there is a Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios Bizman Hazeh. So he writes in Darkei Chaim V'Shalom that the Baal Minchas Lozer used to be Mishabeach, the minog of the Hasidim and the Yireim in Ira Kodesh Yerushalayim, that on Yom Tov Sheni they would wear special Big Day Shabbos and Big Day Yom Tov, and Lekavod Isru Chag, and Lekavod Acheim Shabagola, and they would avoid doing Malachos Bifar Hesya, because even though we pass like Rav Rishonim that there's no din of Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Yisrael, and we daven at Tfilas Chol, and you put on Tfilin, certainly, but nevertheless, it's a good idea that they're Monea themselves from Malacha, that's not an absolutely necessary Malacha, in deference to the Shita of Rashi, and the Ravid also, he points out, the Ravid also may hold this way as well, that there is a din of Shnei Yom Tovim, even in Eretz Yisrael. So that's how do we answer Rashi? Not sure, you have to just say that Michas Luzer says, you have to just say that Rashi disagrees, that Rashi holds that there actually is Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Golios in Eretz Yisrael. The other idea that we had over here is that Shvus Krova versus Shvus Rechoka, that even though the Chachamim don't ask for Shvus B'Migdash, and that's a klal throughout Shas, Ein Shvus B'Migdash, they were only Matir Shvus Krova, not a Shvus Rechoka. So Rashi explains that a Shvus Krova is a Shvus that you need for that day. Shvus Rechoka is where the need is not for that day, the need is for the next day. So based on that, there are those that do not allow a Shvus when the need for the Shvus is the next day. So the Poskim discuss about what about Amira La'akum. Amira L'Nachri is like the classic Shvus. It's like the lowest level Shvus. See, when a person themselves does a Malacha D'Rabbanan, so that's one level of D'Rabbanan. It's considered like a lower level D'Rabbanan. That's why we say Shvus to Shvus Makom Mitzvah. The Poskim say it's only if one of those Shvusim are Amira La'akum, because that's not just a D'Rabbanan, but it's like a lower level D'Rabbanan. So there's a question, do we say Shvus Krova Shvus Krova Yitiru, Shvus Rechoka Lo Yitiru, when it comes to Amir La'akum as well? The Magen Avram writes in Simon Reishon Beis that you're allowed to tell the Nachri to be Tochen Chitim, to grind wheat for you, when it's as long as it's not a Malacha Gemura. You ask him to do it in a Durabanan kind of way, with a Rechaim Shalmayim, where it's only a Durabanan, if it's Shad Tzricha Lekach, meaning and what would be Shad Tzricha Lekach, you need a Tzorich Mitzvah, because you need wheat for Pesach, which is coming up, and you're going to need the kemach for the matzahs. So you see clearly that even though the mitzvah is not l'tzorech today, nevertheless, we're matur the shvus l'tzorech mitzvah. But the Magen Avraham writes that if the mitzvah is ruchoka k'tzas, that the Amir L'Nachri, to build the Beis HaKnesses, where it takes a long time, as we know, to build the Beis HaKnesses, and you're going to be matur malachos for like years until eventually, so that's too much of a shvus ruchoka. So he just draws the line differently, that a shvus ruchoka is only when it's Rechoka b'yoser, but a Shvus L'tzorech the next day is considered a Shvus Krova as far as Amir La'akum is concerned. So we just moved the line over on what's called the Shvus Krova versus the Shvus Rechoka. There's also a discussion in Neidi B'Yehuda. The Neidi B'Yehuda is a tshuva in Madura Tinyana, where he was asked about a lechi that a Nachri fixed on Yom Tov Sheni that fell out on Erev Shabbos, L'tzorech Shabbos. And Yom Tov you're allowed to carry for anyway, because it's Yom Tov, not Shabbos. But they noticed on Yom Tov, which fell out on Erev Shabbos, that there was a problem with the Eruv, that the Lechi was down. So they asked the guy to come and fix the Lechi. So the Shaila is, can you rely on that? Is it, if it's Mutter, the Shoel wanted to say that it's Mutter because it's a Shvus to Shvus B'Makom Mitzvah, which is Mutter. So the Debuta said, no, it's Aser, because you're right, a Shvus to Shvus B'Makom Mitzvah is okay, but that's only when it's a Shvus krova when it's for that day. But over here, you're fixing the lechi on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos. So you're doing an amir la'akum on Yontif, which is Erev Shabbos, for Shabbos. And that's called the Shvus Rechoka, like Rashi says. That krova means only that very day, not when it's going to be used for the next day. So the Kaf HaChaim quotes this Noda B'Yehuda, that we're only matir Shvus for that very day. And he quotes those who disagree with the Noda B'Yehuda. And he raises a kasha, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that you're allowed to be ola li'ilam on Shabbos to bring a shofar l'tzorech mitzvah. So what does that mean? How are you allowed to do that, to bring a shofar l'tzorech mitzvah? That is a shvus. So you can say, oh, they were matir the shvus l'tzorech mitzvah. But wait a second. When are you climbing that tree to get the shofar, l'tzorech mitzvah? Well, he says that you're allowed to climb the tree on Shabbos. Well, when's Rosh Hashanah? If Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, you don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It must be that Rosh Hashanah is Sunday, that you're doing it shvus rechoka, and apparently we allow it. So don't tell me, no debiuda, that it's shvus krova lo itiru. So Kaf HaChaim says maybe you could suggest that we're talking about where Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos and Sunday. So if it's Shabbos and Sunday, it's considered one long Kedusha, and therefore that would be considered a shvus rechoka, dafka because it's Rosh Hashanah. Or maybe it's just that the Shulchan Aruch, when he says you're allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos to get a shofar, is quoting the Lashon HaRambam and Ein HaChinami. We paskin that according to the Rambam, you're tokeh b'Shabbos in several places. Makom Sheish Bo Beis Din, you're allowed to be tokeh b'Shabbos. So it's not out of the question that you would be tokeh a shofar on Shabbos, even though the Shulchan Aruch himself paskin is not that way, that we would never be tokeh b'Shabbos. But sometimes the Shulchan Aruch just quotes Lashon HaRambam. Difficult to say, meaning the Shulchan Aruch is also, knows that he wrote the book for halacha, that people are supposed to rely on it. So it's true that he normally defaults to the Lashon HaRambam for the most part. The majority of Shulchan Aruch is patterned after the Rambam, and in the majority of Shulchan Aruch will default to the Lashon HaRambam. There are parts of Shulchan Aruch that are patterned after other Rishonim. When you learn Isser V'Etri, you learn Basar B'Chol Tarovas, it's not so much patterned after the Rambam, it's more the Taras HaBayis of the Rashba. That's the basis of the Shulchan Aruch, but Shulchan Aruch often will default in most sections of Shulchan Aruch to the Lashon HaRambam, but not if it's going to give you the wrong impression, not if it's going to give you a halacha that's not true. So that's a little bit difficult. It's a little bit difficult to understand. Now, when it comes to the concept of shvus, there are really three types of shvus. There are three types of isurim drabanan on Shabbos. There's an isur drabanan that the chum aser because that activity is similar to one of the lamatas malachos. There are those things that it's not that it's similar to, but that if you do this activity, you're very likely to then do one of the lamatas malachos because they're normally done in conjunction with each other. And then there are those things that are just aser mishum tircha, uvda d'chol, those kinds of things that the Rabbanan asered, even though it doesn't resemble any of the lamatas malachos, it's just the very activity itself seems like a malacha because it's so involved and has so much tircha, or seems so weekday type. So those are the three types of Yisurim d'Rabbanan. So the Chachamim were not kosher on Shvus b'Migdash because of the principle of Kohanim Zrizenheim. Nevertheless, the Rishonim point out that even though the reason that they were not kosher on Shvus b'Migdash is because Kohanim Zrizen, the Rishonim point out that even for Yisrael ain't Shvus b'Migdash. So the question is, but if the whole point is that Kohanim Zrizen, so then why even for Yisrael should there be ain't Shvus b'Migdash? So the suggestion is because there are Kohanim around, meaning the Kohanim are there to remind us if the concern is that when you do this, you're going to come to do a malacha. Because the Kohanim will remind us not to do those malachas, and therefore we're more on guard. L'chora, that would only make sense if you assume that shvus means a shvus that is normally done in conjunction with a malacha, an activity that's normally done immediately preceding a malacha. But if it's that in your head, this seems like a malacha, whether it's because of the tircha yaseira, or whether because it's just an action that resembles the malacha, l'chora, the presence of Kohanim shouldn't really help. So, okay, there's what to discuss over there. Says the Gemara Vayter now. Now another challenge on Rav Chista. Again, Rav Chista, that midar raisa, you're allowed to do malacha on Yom Tov, l'tzorech achila on Shabbos. So, Masa Rav Mari, shtei alechem in necholos lopox, mishnayim velo yosra al shlosha. The first challenge we had was from lechem apanim. Now we're challenging from shtei alechem. So, shtei alechem cannot be eaten less than 2 days, or the second day from the time it was baked, nor more than on the third third day from the day that it was baked. Ketzad, nefels erev yom tov, nechels yom. Shtei lechem is the primary carbon that comes with the yom tov of Shavuos. It's a carbon tzibur of Shavuos. So ketzad, how is it? Well, in normal circumstances, it's nefels erev yom tov. You bake it on erev Shavuos, and then you eat it on Shavuos itself. That's l'shnayim. Chal yom tov lios achara Shabbos. But let's say yom tov falls out on Sunday. So now what are you going to do? You're not going to be able to bake it on Shabbos, on erev yom tov. So nechels yom tov l'shlo. Then it's going to be on the third day. Lefisha ena docha loas haShabbos veloas haYomtov, because the baking of the shtei alechem is not going to be able to be done on Shabbos nor on Yomtov. Meaning, what we're addressing with that phrase veloas haYomtov is why not just bake it on Shavuos? No, the baking of the shtei alechem is not docha Yomtov. So says the Gemara, v'iam ritzorche Shabbos nasim biYomtov. If you're on a daraisa level, you're even allowed to do tzorche Shabbos on Yomtov. So asher the Shabbos Yomtov shari diYomtov biYomtov mibayi. Why is it that you can't bake the shtei alechem on Shavuos for Shavuos? If you're even allowed to bake it on Shavuos for Shabbos, so why shouldn't you be allowed to bake it on Shavuos for Shavuos itself? Wait a second, what kind of havamin is this even? That you're not allowed to, this must be some special halacha, that you're not allowed to bake on Shavuos for Shavuos, because obviously, melechas ochel nefesh is mutter, that's beferish in the Torah, that ach asher ye'achal uchol nefesh, ulevado ye'asal lechem, that clearly, you're allowed to do melechas ochel nefesh. So no, what we seem to be saying over here is that you're allowed to do malacha that's l'tzarech yom tov itself under normal circumstances, but what we seem to be saying is if you're not going to be able to get hanah from that malacha immediately, something else has to happen before you're able to get hanah from that malacha. That type of malacha is not called malacha sochel nefesh, that would be mutter. The shtei halechem, yes, they become mutter for the kohanim, but that's only after their shochet, the kivsei atzeres, the kivsei ashlamim that are brought together with the shtei halechem. So from the fact that they don't allow you to bake the shtei alechem on Yom Tov, you see that the Torah is not matir a malach l'tzorech ochel nefesh on Yom Tov if you're not going to be able to get benefit from right away. So that which we're matir to do tzorche Shabbos in Yom Tov is only because of holy mekla yarchim and must not be because on a daraisa level tzorche Shabbos or nasim Yom Tov, because it would make no sense that if tzorche Yom Tov I can't do on Yom Tov when there's something else that has to happen in between. So there's no way that I'm allowed to do tzorche Shabbos on Yom Tov because something major has to happen in between. The calendar has to change. It has to change to the next day. So that's the challenge. So says the Gemara. That's the challenge to Rav Chista. So answers the Gemara. Shaini Hasam. Rav Chista would answer, no. Shtei Alechem is a totally different story. Da Amar Kra Lachem Lachem V'lo L'Gavoa. That even though Melechas Ochel Nefesh is Mutar on Yom Tov, but that's only when it's Melechas Ochel Nefesh for you. But over here, it's for Hegdish. It's for Kachim. So that which is for Kachim is not included in the heter of melechas ochel nefesh. Aye, but the kohanim are going to eat it. You know, it is going to, you know, physically go in their mouths. They're going to eat it. So how could you call that not lechem? So Rabbeinu David explains, yeah, but mishulchan gavoa kazachu. That's not called lechem. It's not really theirs. It's really hegdish, and it's just that mishulchan gavoa kazachu that they're allowed to benefit from it. So based on that, they answer the kasha that we could answer the previous kasha as well. Meaning, Rabbi challenged Rav Chista twice, once from Lechem Apanim and once from Shtei Alechem. So with Lechem Apanim, we came up with this answer, Shvus Krova, Shvus Ruchoka, a different story, that, you know, when it comes to Shvus Ruchoka, we're not Matir. L'chara, we have a better answer now. Just say that, like we're saying right now, Lechem V'lo L'Gavoa, Lechem Apanim is also holy bread. So we should say that you're not allowed to do that because it's considered L'Gavoa. So the Tzlach says, yeah, Eino Chinami. And that's Dafka why we first asked the question from Lechem Apanim, and then we ask the question from Shtei Alechem, Lahagdil Toru Lahadira, because we never would have arrived at this distinction between Shvus Krova and Shvus Rechoka had we started with the question from Shtei Alechem, because we would have already known that we would have been able to easily then answer the question from Lechem Apanim without even resorting to the difference between Shvus Krova and Shvus Rechoka. This is a principle of Lahagdil Toru Lahadira. I mean, Lahagdil Toru Lahadira doesn't just mean it's always nice to learn Torah. Lahagdil Toru Lahadira, the way it's used by by Rishonim and certainly Achronim is that sometimes the Gemara will dafka set up questions and answers to reveal new layers of Torah that don't necessarily have to be revealed in the sugya. Meaning, what's the Gemara for? If it's just trying to understand the halachos that emerge from the Mishnayos, you don't need all of this discussion very often. But we dafka engage in discussion that's unnecessary in order to uncover more halachos. So that's like that's what the Rishonim say at the very beginning of this Masechta, when we have all these rayas about what does the word or mean, and we bring from all over the place, from Mishnayos and everywhere, what the Psukim and Mishnayos, what the word or means in our Mishnah. And then at the end we say, oh, by the way, there's a brisa that has exactly the words of our Mishnah, but instead of the word or, it says Lel, it says Laila. So I needed 12 rayas in between? Just tell me Laila. So the Rishonim explained, yeah, you needed 12 rayas in between, because through those rayas you learned the Maila of speaking B'lashon Nekiya, you learned B'lashon Ketzara. There was a lot that came out from that discussion. So since you learned that Arv Kochavim is Nikra Ar B'lashon Nidarim, you learned all of these fascinating things that we otherwise would not have learned. That's the principle of Lahagdil Torah La'adira. So says Gemara Vayter now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Dar Mishum, Rabbi Shimon Ben Asagan, that baking the Shtei Lechem is Dochas Yom Tov, Ma'ikel Meimar. If you hold that baking the Lechem Panim is Doch Yom Tov and is Mutar on Shavuos, so how are you going to explain this? I Lochem Velo Lekvava, right? There is apparently an opinion in Tanaim that you're allowed to bake the Shtei Lechem on Shavuos. So Savala Kabashal, Dam Lechem, Lechem Velo Lenachrim. He holds that from the word Lechem we do not exclude Kachim. We exclude baking for Nachrim. That's why there's halacha mefreshes in Shulchan Aruch that one is not allowed to invite a nachri to a Yom Tov meal. If a person wants to invite a nachri to a meal, make it a Shabbos meal, not a Yom Tov meal, because a Yom Tov meal there's a concern that you might cook something extra for him on Yom Tov, and that's a violation of an Issa D'Oraisa that you're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov when it's not lechem. It's lechem v'lo lenachrim. Meaning, Tosus points out Tanakam also agrees lechem v'lo lenachrim. He just thinks that it also includes lechem v'lo. But everyone agrees lechem v'lo lenachrim that you're not allowed to cook for a nachri. Sometimes people have this thing that they feel like they want to their nachri coworker or something is fascinated by a concept of the seder or something like that, so they want to invite them to the seder. That's a terrible idea. It's against the halacha. It's also stam a terrible idea. Meaning, if you're the seder is not the time. The seder is where we're celebrating the amanivchar and kedushas Yisrael and everything. So that's really not the time to probably be socializing. There are complicated situations, obviously, with intermarriages and things like that, but okay, consult your local Orthodox rabbi. Not for now. So, says Gemara, Shalach le Rav Chista le Rabbi. So Rav Chista challenged Rabbi. Biad Rav Acha bar Rav Huna, not challenged, he sent the following kasha through Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. Now we're shifting gears. Now we're on the second topic of the daf, which is that Rabbi held of the concept of Hoil, that since guests can show up any time, so you can do way more than you actually need for Yom Tov. So now we're going to challenge that. So we challenge from the following. Mi amrinan hoil? Do we really say hoil? Vatanan, but there's a Mishnah Maseches Makos that tells us. Yesh choresh telemechad, a person can sometimes plow one row in a field, v'chayavin ala mishum shmon alavin, and he can violate 8 lavin simultaneously just by plowing one row in a field. Every once in a while, the Gemara does this. The Gemara tells us how you can violate many, many Yisurim all at the same time. We had a little bit earlier in the Masechta when we spoke about on Daf Chavdalit about how many Malkios you get for eating different types of bugs, different types of creatures. If it's a water creature, a land creature, a flying creature, so there can be many Malkios. But that's many Malkios just for that one action. Over here is one action that involves many, many different Yisurim. So 8 different Yisurim by one action of plowing. How so? Hachorish b'shor v'chamar. Person is plowing with a shor and a chamar together. That's a violation of lo sachrosh b'shor v'chamar yachtav. Vehein mukdashim, and it happens to be hegdish, meaning the shor, the way Rashi says, at least against us, the shor is kache mizbeach, so it's a violation of lo savod b'vchor shorcha, and the chamar is kache bedek abayis, so it's a violation of an isur me'ila. So those are two separate isurim because they're kachim. One is kache mizbeach, the other is kache bedek abayis. Uklayim bakerem, and the Charisha is for the purpose of planting Klayim in a vineyard. So you're planting other things in a vineyard. So v'shvius, and it happens to be that you're doing this during a Shemitah year. So you're in violation of Sadchalus Isra during Shemitah. And it's B'Yom Tov, so you're in violation of Kol Melechas Avoda Lo Sasu, that you're not allowed to do Melecha on Yom Tov. And Kohen, V'Nazir, Beis HaTumah, and the fellow who's doing the plowing happens to be both a Kohen and a Nazir, and the location is a Beis HaKvaros. So he's in violation of a Kohen, L'Nefesh Lo Yitame Ba'amav, of a Kohen becoming Tameh, and a Nazir, Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yavo, a Nazir becoming Tameh. So that way, it turns out that it's 8 Lavin. Again, the 8 Lavin, Kilei Behema, Asiyas Melechas Katshe Mizbeach, right, but Katshe Mizbeach, Mol Behegdish, being planting Kilei Akerem, planting during Shemitah, plowing on Yom Tov, Tumas Kohen, and Tumas Nazir. So at least that's a Rashi's list. Tosos has a slightly different list. So the Malkus is, you know, when we said that on Yom Tov, Yom Tov is one of the Yisurim, so that the Malkus is for the plowing itself. It's just one of the Lamites Malachas of Yom Tov. So since you're Loka Mishum Choresh, you're not going to be Loka also for Zoreya on Yom Tov, because Ilachorah, if it's planting Kilei Akerem, right, so you're being Zoreya as well. You're covering up the seeds. Because on Yom Tov, the rule is, Rabbeinu David points this out, the reason we don't add an extra Zoreya on Yom Tov, should have been 9, that it's not only Chorish, it's also Zoreya, because as you're plowing, you're covering up seeds, it's because on Yom Tov, there's no Chilik Melachos. So on Yom Tov, if you do violate multiple Melachos of Yom Tov in the same act, it's only one Malchus. It's only one Isser of doing Melacha on Yom Tov. As opposed to on Shabbos, it would be different. So why don't we say that it's Shabbos, and then we could add a 9th one, meaning make it even worse than Yom Tov, make it on Shabbos. So that's what the Rabbeinu David points, that's what the Rishonim point out. I think even Rashi points out that the Mishnah doesn't say that we're Choresh on Shabbos and you'd be Chayv Malkus from Malacha on Shabbos, even though Chil Shabbos is Beskila, you don't get Malkus, but we could have said that you did it where they only gave you Asra from Malkus, because you wouldn't get Malkus on Shabbos, because Shabbos is a Lav Shanit and Lasaras Mises based in. On Yom Tov, it's not a Chiv Misa to begin with. It's just a Lo Sase. On Shabbos, it's a Chiv Skila. So a Lav Shanit and Lasaras Mises based in is Ein Lokan Alav. So we want to give you as many Malkios as possible in this example, and therefore it's better to give an example of Yom Tov rather than an example of Shabbos. But bottom line, the point is, V'yamrin and Hoil, but wait a second, if you're going to say Hoil, Acharisha Lo L'chayiv, you shouldn't be Chayiv for plowing. Hoil, V'chazil Kisi Dam Tzibor, meaning when you are plowing, you're digging up dirt. Digging up dirt is something that might be useful for you on Yom Tov, because let's say you decide to shecht some birds or some chayos. So then the halacha is that you have a mitzvah of kisei adam. So since it's that dirt may come in useful, just like we have a principle of cooking on Yom Tov, because guests may come and you might have use for that food, plowing might be useful on Yom Tov also, because you might decide to shecht birds or chayos, and then you'll have to do the mitzvah of kisei adam. So how come we say that you're chayiv on the charisha over here? Why don't we apply the principle of Hoil? So of the 80 surim, we're zeroing in on one of them, right? That Charisha on Yom Tov really shouldn't be an inyan over here, shouldn't be an issue over here because of Hoil. So the Gemara tries a few attempts at answering this question. Attempt number one, Amra Pabra Shmuel, Ba'avanam Ukrazalos. Maybe the Charisha that you're doing is on these soft rocks that are ro'i to plant in, but they're not ro'i for Kisei Adam. So says the Gemara, what do you mean they're not ro'i for Kisei Adam? Ro'ius l'kotshon, if they're really such soft rocks that you can even plant in, you can crush them up. So it says, yeah, but uktisha b'yom tov mishari, are you allowed to do that in Yom Tov? That would be a violation of the malacha of tochein to do that. So it says, marui l'kotshon k'lachar yad. Yeah, you can crush them up, do it with a shinoi, and then it won't be a malacha d'oraisa. So it says, Mar, you're right, we have to try a second answer. So a second attempt, b'tsunma. Maybe we're talking about very rocky ground where you're not able to crush it up and to use it for kisei adam, and therefore you don't have the principle of hoil over here, because the charisha that you're doing is not a charisha that will provide you with the kind of dirt that you need for the mitzvah of kisei adam. So it says more, but tsunma barzria. What if it's really tsunma? If it's rocky ground, can you plant in that? You wouldn't be able to plant in it either. And the whole case is that you're trying to plant over here. So it says more, a third possibility. Tsunma milamayla v'afriti choach milamata. Then maybe it's rocky ground on top, but underneath it is softer ground. So the chiyuv of choresh is on the Harisha of the rocky ground that's Lamaila, where you can't use for Kisei Adam, and therefore you won't have Holil. So says Mar, yeah, but the Tebeglem Yishama for Tichuach, you still shouldn't be Chayv for the Harisha because you are accessing that softer ground that you will be able to use for Kisei Adam. So says Mar, attempt number four. Ella Amar Mar Baravashi. Bitina, we're talking about mud, very soft, very wet mud, and it's not roi for kisei adam. So that's why you're not going to have hoil. Says Mar, bitina barzriyei, can you really plant in such a thing? We're talking about karka that's roi lizriya because we're being mechayev for planting kalayim and mishum and for being zareya b'shvias. So says Mar, b'matunta, we're talking about just soft, just moist ground that is roi lizriya, but it's not roi for kisei adam because kisei adam has to be, it can't clump together. Whatever you use for kisei adam should be granular. So therefore you're not going to be able to apply the principle of hawil, and that's the final answer. So the Gemara wanted to know, if you're going to say the principle of hawil, how can you ever say that your guy is chayiv for harisha and yom tov? We should always say hawil, that you could always use whatever he's plowing up, whatever ground he's plowing up, for kisei adam. So the answer is that there is a type of harisha that you could do that yes will be viable for zri, but will not provide you with the dirt that you need for kisei adam, and that's if you have very moist ground, very wet ground. So now the Gemara tries challenge number two against Rabba. Esve Abaye, Abaye, you mean to tell me the principle of Hawil? I'll ask you from the following Braisa. Also one of these, how many Averos can you do at the same time kind of Braisas. Hamavashal Giranasha, Bichalav, Biyomtov, Va'ochlo. If a person cooks a Giranasha in milk on Yomtov and then eats it, Loka Chabesh, he violates five Malkios. What are the five? So it spells out, Loka Mishum Vashal Gid B'Yomtov. He's violating the issue of cooking Gid on Yomtov because it's Shalol Litzaruch Ochel Nefesh, because you're not allowed to eat Gid on Asha. V'Loka Mishum Ochel Gid. And he's in violation of the issue of eating the Gid on Asha. The Pasuk says, Alkein Lo Yochel B'nei Shalos Gid on Asha. Asha Al Kafir Echad Yom Azeh, after the battle with Yaakov and the Malach, the Sarah Shal Esav. V'Loka Mishum Vashal Basu B'Chalav. And it's a violation of cooking basar b'chalav. It says, lo shvashal gidi b'chalav imo. V'lo k'mishum ochel basar b'chalav. It's also a violation of eating basar b'chalav, because it says, lo shvashal gidi b'chalav imo, three times. So, echel is rachil, echel is rabishal, v'echel is hana'a. So, v'lo k'mishum havara. And he's also in violation of havara and yamtav. That since, meaning, even though bishal basar b'chalav includes the yisr of eating basar b'chalav, rather, is an Nisra Achila, and it's also Lechor and Nisra Hana'a, so we don't mention the Hana'a because Achila and Hana'a are the same inyan, they're the same issue. Achila is also a form of Hana'a. So you wouldn't get Malkus on Hana'a when you're already getting Malkus on Achilas Basar B'chalav. But V'loka Mishum Avara, and you're also in violation of Avara and Yamtav because you're not allowed to eat that which you're cooking. So it's being Mavarish and Yamtav, Shalol Litzaruch Ochel Nefesh. So it's a violation of Havara as well. So says the Gemara, V'yamrin and Hoil, but if you're going to say Hoil, Avara Lel Chayev, Hold the Chazilei Litzarko. You're making a fire, you're going to be Chayev for that. You could always use that fire for viable needs on Yamtav, for cooking kosher food on Yamtav that you're actually going to need. So if you're going to really say Hoil, there should be no Malkus for the Avar over here. So Amalei, he said, you're right. Apik Avar Va'il Giranash Shal Nevela. You're right. Havar is not one of the Yisurim you violate over here, but there are still five Yisurim, because we should put that the Giranasha is Giranasha of a Nevela. So you're also get Malkus for Achilas Nevela. Now there is a Machlokas Tanoim, whether Yesh be in Mesech Schulin, whether Yesh Begidim Nel Sein Tam, or Ein Begidim Nel Sein Tam, meaning there is an Yisur in the Torah of Achilas Giranasha. How much of a Chiddush is that, though? The idea that you're not to eat Giranasha. Is it really something that's a Meichel? Is it something that's no same time that would be an, or is it just like a vein that's not even Roy Lachila? Anyway, either way, you definitely can get Malkus for eating Giranasha. The question is, if Yesh Begidim no same time, then it would be an Isser of Nevela if that Giranasha came from a Nevela. If Ein Begidim no same time, says no Isser of Nevela. The Isser of Nevela is only on the edible parts of a Nevela. It's not on parts of a Nevela that are not edible at all. So this must be assuming that yesh begidim rasin tam, if we're willing to put in gira nasha shel nevela as one of the yisurin. So v'atani Rabbi Chiya. So Abaye asks on that answer. But wait a second, didn't Rabbi Chiya tell us a brisa that a gira nasha that's cooked in chalav and yomtov they eat lokin shtayim al chilasu v'shalosh al bishulam? We didn't just say that you get five malkios. We broke it down that two of the malkios are for eating and three are for the cooking. V'yisa. But by taking away Havara as one of the Malkios and substituting eating Nevela as one of the Malkios, you shifted the balance. Now it's three for the eating and two for the cooking. So it doesn't work out. Ella, you're right. Apik Havara, we're not going to make it Nevela, but take out Havara, Va'ayil, Atze Muktza, and make it that the wood that they're using is Atze Muktza, that was not designated Miba'od Yom. So since you're using Atze Muktza and Yom Tov, that's another Issa D'Oraisa, and you can't pater Mishum Ha'wil, because even if you were to do Shimush Rav Heter with them, it wouldn't solve the fact that you also used it for Isser. So Ha'wil might help for Avara, because that very same fire that you make is Ha'wil, you could use it for something else, but if you have Atze Muktza, then you don't have a principle of Ha'wil, because even if you did a Shimush Rav Heter with them, it's not going to change the fact that that you also did a Shimush of Isser with them. So says Gemara, Muktza Daraisa. Wait a second, Muktza? Is Muktza even a Din Daraisa? Muktza seems to be very much a Din Drabanan. So says Gemara, Amalei In. No, Muktza is Daraisa. Where do we find Muktza's Daraisa? Dechsev, Pasuk says, Vaya Biyom HaShishi, Veichinu Es Asher Yaviu, that the Pasuk tells us on an Erev Shabbos, they had to prepare everything that they needed for the sake of Shabbos, and since the Eitzim that they're using to cook over here were not designated from before Shabbos, and the Torah calls the preparation hachana, so vas harase, so that's an issue that tells us that it's a malacha. Vas harase mehacha milosasa kol malacha, and there's an ashara from losasa kol malacha that's included as the ashara for muktza. Now the Gemara seems to tell us that this muktza is nisu daraisa over here. But the problem is the Gemara in Shabbos is explicit not that way. The Gemara in Shabbos Tav Kuf Chav Gimel and Beis tells us that piyamei Nechemia there were gozer on the Yisra of Tiltul, meaning the Yisra of Tiltul Muktza, because they were afraid that people are going to do other Yisurim on Shabbos if we allow you to be Metaltal Muktza. So the Chasam Sofer suggests that maybe there's a difference between Tiltal Muktza versus being Ochel or Mishtamesh with something that's Muktza, that lacks Hachana. From the Pasuk of Echinu, we learn that you're not allowed to eat on Shabbos or use up on Shabbos that which was not Muchan Me'erev Shabbos, or that which was Nolad on Shabbos. But to be metaltel, just to handle and to move around, that was only in the days of Nechemia. That was a later takana from the days of Nechemia. Now, one of the issues that we pointed out over here is that the Brisa says that if Mivashal get anasha on Yom Tov, you get malchus for violating the Yisra of Havara on Yom Tov, because Havara is only Tzorech Yom Tov. Havara Seish, the Tzorech Bishul Gid is not considered a Tzorech, because you're not able to eat the Gid. The Yisra get anasha is there, so it's not considered Havara, that's Litzorach. And it's only because of Ha'wil that we had to take out Havara. So based on that, there's a Tshuva Sefer called the Meir Nesivim, where he says maybe we can learn from there that if a person eats a Davar Asr, let's say a person eats non-kosher food, and he says a bracha on it, aside from the fact that he's violating the Isser of eating Ma'achalos Asuros, it's also a bracha levatala. That's how the Rambam Paskins against the Ravid. The Rambam Paskins that anyone who eats a Davar Asr, bein bezadon, bein b'shogeg, he does not say a bracha rishona nor a bracha achron on it against the Ravid. The Ravid holds that you do say a bracha because shkeinene, you got an ah from it. So he brings a raif to the Rambam from our sugya. How so? Because we're saying from Mavashal get an asha on Yom Tov, you get malchus for being mavir on Yom Tov. It sounds like even at the Shas HaBishul you were planning on eating it, so it's havar l'tzorech achal nefesh because I'm going to eat it. So if I'm going to eat, even though maybe I'm not allowed to eat it, but I'm going to, so isn't that called achal nefesh? So the answer is no, it's not called achal nefesh if it's also to do. So Melu, who had did in Hilchus Brachos, that it could be, I'm going to be nene, it's a bichsa nene, so if I'm going to be nene from it, so why can't it? No, must be that's not called, that you're going to be nene from it, and you're not supposed to make a bracha. That's why we avoid making brachas. I was once with Rav Schechter in the OU office, and we got a call from someone involved in NCSY, that there was a young man who grew up in a non-religious family, ninth grade boy, and he was taking on Torah mitzvahs slowly, as much as he could, and his shaila was, he was living in his parents' parents' house and they refused to accommodate kashrus. They were not going to make the home kosher for him. So every meal that he's being served at home was not kosher. And he had no choice. He had no way out. He couldn't move out of his parents' house as a 14-year-old. He had no way out. There was no way he was going to be able to avoid eating non-kosher. So his shaila was, he wanted to know, should he wash at every meal? So that he'll say amotzi on the bread, and then he won't have to have a shaila and brachos get involved in machlokes Rambam Ravid. So after Rav Shechter finished crying about the shaila, he said that he's taka right. That's the better thing to do in that situation. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up at the bottom of the page tomorrow.